We appreciate so very much your being here and what a joy it is to be able to worship and serve the Lord. Tonight, we're going to have our singing. And why not sing God is Good this morning? That means I'd like you, if you can, stand up and let's sing it together. Here we go. God is so good, everybody. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What has he done? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And he made me whole. Everybody, I praise good. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me. Please be seated. Al, I think I'm going to preach a long time this morning. We're real glad you're here today. Barbara, we're sure glad to see you and Ruby Lee and of course, Winnie, we're glad to see her. All of you that are visiting, of course, Dan and them have visitors and also the Pipes. And we're just so glad to see all of you that are visiting the congregation today. Welcome. Come back and be with us every time that you possibly can. Then Stuart's going to be preaching next Sunday night. Excited about that. And let's just keep on working and serving the Lord, doing what we can in service to the Lord. When we studied John chapter 9, and it would take a long time to really analyze the whole chapter, but briefly, Jesus passes by and he finds a man that was born blind. And this man has always been blind. Now, I don't know about you. I've known a lot of people that are blind. I know this one preacher down near Locks Crossing, down in the Alabama area near, I guess it's Elton. But anyway, Brother Williams. And I loved to hear him when he would get up and preach. And he would be using Braille. And what a fantastic man. Here he is, he can't see. But he has studied the word of the Lord and he could preach. Remember a lady up in Shelbyville, Tennessee, where she was told that her eyesight, she's going to lose it. And she said, Brother Guy, every morning when I get up and I look over the side and I see the blinds and I see light through coming through those blinds, I always say, thank you, God, for another day that I can see. The day came when her sight was gone. Losing your sight, I knew Granny Hardison. She lived to be 104 years of age. I was working as I was going to college with the church out there at Horse Mountain. And Granny Hardison, I'd go over there on Sunday afternoon many times. We'd get together and we'd have services together. And I can see her in a wheelchair. Now she's totally blind. But I can hear that sweet voice of hers when she used to sing, in the sweet by and by. She was looking forward to that time she could be with the Lord. Jesus beheld this man. He was a blind man. He'd been blind from the day of his birth. Jesus spits down, makes spittle, and puts that on the eyes of the man. And he tells the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He goes. And when he washes, his sight is removed, rather restored. And what a fantastic thing. And now he comes back. He sees his folks. He sees the Pharisees. The neighbors see him. And there's a great question that has arisen. Hey, how did you receive your sight? Somebody else says, oh, that's really not the man that you think he is. Because they didn't want to accept Jesus performing a miracle upon him. And throughout the book of John chapter 9, you see how this man had to go over and over telling what had been done for him. But finally his parents were asked. And they make the statement, while he's of age, ask him. And the man that was born blind, after he had gone through several times of saying what had happened, the Bible tells us the Pharisees put him out. But he said one thing. I know I was blind, but now I see. And Jesus said, this was done to manifest the work of God through him. Read it again with me. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, Jesus said. The night cometh when no man shall work. Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Is that the reason why he was born blind? Was it because of some sin that he committed? How could that be? Because a person who has never even been born, how can they be guilty of sin? Well, what about their parents? Maybe it's a punishment that they're receiving now because of some terrible thing that they did, and that their child is blind, born blind. Jesus said, no. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Yeah, I will show you and manifest to you and tell you why he was blind. So this work that I'm going to do for him will be made known. And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And we had thus spoken. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I want this morning to talk with you for about 20 minutes about the work of God. Jesus said, I must work. And he did. I must work the works that God wants me to work. The night cometh when no man shall work. So often you read in the Bible are being workers together with God. For example, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, Paul writes, for we are workers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Then we hear him again in Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do the work of God. And then we read in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why wouldn't anybody want to do the work of God? Knowing that God's going to reward him. Knowing that he's going to be recipient from God for the wonderful works that he's done in the service of the Lord. Why, Timothy was told in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, son, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that he is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to suggest to you this morning five things. Five small things. Yet, they're the work of God and they're great things. To do the work of God, I suggest to you that we let the world know about Jesus being the Savior of the world. In Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He had a mission. His mission was to do the work of God. I must work the works of him that sent me. What is the work of God? What is the work that God wants us to do? Be busy in letting people know that Jesus indeed is the only Savior of the world. In Romans 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things that he suffered. God tells us about the Son of God, Jesus, and that he is indeed the one that was. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it thrilling? There are people today that want to kill people who stand up for Christ. There are people in the world that want to kill every single individual who stands up and says they believe in Christianity, in Jesus as being the Christ, but to do the work of God. His work is involved with us, letting everyone know that we believe. Remember in John chapter 6, Jesus had a lot of people that he had just talked to. They turned away from Jesus. And he looked to his disciples. He said to them, will you also go away? Who was it that said something? It was Peter. What did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. When Saul, in Acts chapter 9, got to talk to Jesus and see Jesus on the way to Damascus, he asked him this question. The question was this: who art thou, Lord? I want everybody in America. I want everybody in the Far East. I want the world to know there is one. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He is the only one that can save us. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a thrilling work. To let the world know, stand up, tell everybody, no, we'll not hide. Friend, we will stand firm in saying Jesus is the only way. He is the Christ, the Son of God. When Saul asked Jesus, who art thou? Jesus told him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. A man, a sinner, now comes face to face with the Lord. And what does he do? He's converted. When Ananias told him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He did not hesitate. In Acts chapter 9, verse 18, he immediately arose and he was baptized. When you tell people about Jesus and tell them what they need to do to be saved, you're doing the work of God. Number two, let the world know the truth about the church. The church is such an important institution. It costs the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he said, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He has one and no more. How do we know? He tells us. The Bible tells us, in Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Will you say that? Will you tell the world that there is one? The body is one. Paul said there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How many Lords? One. How many faiths? One. How many churches? One. What's a God? Local congregations are spoken of in Romans chapter 16, verse 16, that the churches of Christ salute you. It's not a denomination. It's the body of believers. In Acts 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, but when they believed Philip, when he went down to Samaria, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They knew something about the church. Why? Philip taught them the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the world know the truth about the church of Jesus Christ. Number three, the workers in this kingdom are so important. Are you working for the Lord? Every member of God's people, God's kingdom, are all elders. Boy, don't we have some very good elders, good things. Jeff has just been added as one of our elders in this congregation. Jeff and Teresa and their family have been such a tremendous help to us all. Tommy has been an elder for so long, I don't know. I'm so thankful for him and Shirley. Glenn and Linda. And we just had to give up Charlie. We have people that are so dedicated to serving the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to have people who are elders, shepherds, what they're called, bishops, overseers, and deacons serving the Lord, preachers and teachers preaching the Word of God, combining our efforts to do what? To bring glory and honor unto God. Because you see, we're all in the family of the Lord. And that's God's work. And God wants us to be busy doing His work. I was wondering what example I could use. And I remembered Acts chapter 9, a woman named Dorcas. And the Bible says that there was a certain, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation is called Dorcas. And boy, you couldn't say much better about a person than what Luke says about Dorcas. The Bible says that this woman was full. You know what that means? She was busy all the time. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. But then she died. Peter is called and he comes. And when he comes in, when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber and all the widows stood by weeping. And guess what they did? Let me tell you. They were showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Ladies, members of the Lord's church said, O'Neill, you are precious. Dave, we've got people out here in this congregation like a Dorcas. Members that are so full of good works. I wish I had time to just tell you, even this last week, some things I found out about some of you that hardly anybody else will ever know about it. And when I saw it, and I realized who it was, I couldn't help but thank God, knowing that we had a member like that. Friends, workers in the kingdom of God, elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, just plain members, Everybody, and we're all just plain members, everybody is so important doing the work of God. And I mentioned here, every church is fortunate if they have people like that, and that's why O'Neill is so important. We are so fortunate. Are you one like that? Workers in the kingdom, because we love the Lord, we want to go to heaven, and we love His people, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Number four, the work of God involves reaching out to the people that are lost. In Acts 8 verse 4, the Bible tells us, therefore they that were scattered abroad, they went on all kinds of trips and vacations and all, nothing wrong with that. But, no, these people had a mission. The work of God. The Bible says, they that were scattered abroad, that's disciples, they went everywhere preaching the word. Philip even went down to Samaria. And one of the most wonderful passages in that chapter is where the Bible says, when he went to Samaria, there was great joy in that city. Why? Because he taught them concerning the Master. He did the work of God. Remember the example of Saul that I mentioned a little while ago? Ananias was the man that was chosen to go to him and talk to him. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, Saul said, and he stood and he said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour, I looked up upon him. Ananias, what are you doing? The work of God. What did God tell you to do? Go down there and tell Saul what he needs to do. And we find in Acts 22:16, and now why tellest thou? Arise, Ananias said, and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He did exactly what God told him to do. No wonder. You have that beautiful passage. I love it. I use it a lot. In Matthew 11:28, come unto me, Jesus said. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't forget yourself. That's the work of God. Look at myself. Preacher, you preach to others. What kind of life are you living, preacher? Elder, you tell me to do this. What are you doing? Deacon, I'm told I ought to serve, but what are you doing? Mothers, fathers, we tell our children, and rightfully so, when they're misbehaving, we want to correct them. But when somebody tells you that you're misbehaving, what happens? Do you make correction of it? In Acts 2, verse 40, some sobering words from God. And with many other words did he testify and exhort Peter and the others, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. What did he say? Do something about yourself. Look at yourself. Save yourself. I remember hearing a preacher that Charlie told me about. How that he said at one time was trying to save the whole world. And that's good. Do everything you can. Then he decided he's going to do everything he could to save the congregation. Then he said he looked at his family. I'm going to do everything I can to save my family. And finally, he looked at himself and he said, it's me. I've got to save me. Because you've got to look at yourself. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, there's a passage that Paul writes to this young evangelist. He said, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Number one, look at yourself. To do the work of God, we got to know the Word. Then we've got to compare ourselves with what the Word says in God's precious truth and answer the question, am I doing what this book tells me to do? Am I seeking to do what God says that I may save my own soul? He says, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Jesus manifested His power in restoring the sight, or giving the sight to the blind man. The man that was born blind, he lived in darkness all these years. He restored his sight. And he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work. I want to suggest to us all, young people, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, grandmas, grandpas, great-grandmas, great-grandpas, every single one of us, there is no greater work in the world than doing the work of God. Are you doing that? Are you a Christian? You obeyed the gospel? If not, why not? Why not this morning come to the Master who tells us, preach the Word to everyone. He that believeth and is baptized, they will be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Are you here this morning a Christian, but you haven't lived right? What should you do? Get right. Ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. It's the work of God, the greatest work that any man can ever do. And I'm asking you and asking myself, are we really doing what God wants us to do in His service? If you need to come to Jesus, He's waiting. We're extending His invitation just as you are. Come, while together we stand.